Today's sermon is very, very important, not only to the beginner, I mean beginner in the faith, especially to those who are mature. So we ask God to be gracious to us and help us to pay attention. Our Heavenly Father, we quiet our heart before you, sit by your feet, listen to what you have to say to us, and help us to hide that within our heart so that we can meditate on it day and night and give us wisdom and understanding, especially the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and so that we can walk in it and be blessed all the days of our life and also in the life to come. Hear my prayer, listen to my cry for mercy, and I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So I divide this sermon into three portions. Number one, number two, and number three. And all this is by grace. And all this is by faith. And that's why I say it's a genuine faith. Portion number one, test yourself. Or examine yourself. What's the test that we all have to test ourselves? Test number one is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believed in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you have eternal life. You become the child of God. And you pass the test. If you do not confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you do not believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you fail the test. That's the test. And I still believe that when I first come to know the Lord, I have some kind of a training. And someone tell me, so okay, when you see Jesus Christ, the first thing he asks you the question, when he stand by the heaven gate, he say, Johnny, why will I let you enter into the heaven gate? And how will you answer? And now it's the test. And what do you say with your mouth? What do you say with your mouth? Why will I let you enter into the heaven gate? Well, you can't say that, okay? Hannah, what would you say? She confessed with her mouth. That's not your mouth, her mouth, right? She confessed with her mouth that Jesus is Lord. And what else? She believed in her heart. What do you believe? She passed the test. You failed the test, man. Oh, man. Hey? What mean you used to it? You used to fail the test all the time? Oh, come on. Oh, wow. Test number one. What's the test? Why would Jesus Christ allow you to enter into the kingdom of God? Okay, now, because some people say, oh, I just follow what Hannah say. I just follow what Reuben say. No. Because the Bible clearly stated that right beside Romans 10, 9 to 10, you write down 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. If it is not the Holy Spirit that within your heart that move you to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You won't say that Jesus is Lord. You would just say, just like what Johnny said, you know, I don't know what to say. But if you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, the Holy Spirit will move you. And so that you can say with boldness, with confidence, that Jesus is my Lord. And I also believe with my heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. If you did it, you passed the test. But if you say what other people say, then it's not the Holy Spirit who's moving you, you also failed the test. Why? Because Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who call me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. But it's only those who do the will of the Father. Do the will of the Father, that is step number three. Do the will of the Father. The Father is the Heavenly Father. Not just confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, also believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. All because of the Holy Spirit moving you, helping you to understand and believe in it, then you say it. Not by compulsion, not people forcing you. It's out of your willing heart that you say that. Wesley, are you sleeping or are you awake now? You are awake? What would Jesus say to you when you stand by the heaven gate? Why would I let you enter into the kingdom of God? What do you say? Speak louder. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, you just follow Hannah say, or follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay. What else? It's amazing, eh? So, you know, when you bow down, when you listen to me, you bow down, you're falling asleep, you know. That's amazing. Let me tell you one thing, my friend. If you go to hell, my hand is clean. This is the basic. Okay? This is the basic. I mean, if you break my heart, man, you're not Johnny. Okay? And that's not funny, okay? So, Gabby, could you tell me? If Jesus asks you, why will I let you enter into the gates of heaven to enjoy the blessing? What do you say to him? Where did the Bible say that? Romans chapter 10. What's worse? 9:10, right? Very good. It's amazing, you know. That's why I'm saying, you know, you as a parent, you come here, you don't teach your children. Woe to you. Okay? Wow, what can I say? Test that. Okay? Test number two. You ask yourself, do you have the Holy Spirit within your heart? If you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you won't challenge that. Ask Paul to give a proof that Jesus Christ speaks through Paul. Listen to me very, very carefully, brother and sister. Okay? Because I know that a lot of people, when they read the 2 Corinthians chapter 13, they forget what Jesus is teaching in Gospel of John chapter 14. In those days, at that time, Jesus has already preached about 3 years already. And those people has already followed him for 3 years, just like Philip. He's sleeping all the time, you know, that guy, just like Wesley. Okay? I read that to you. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 5. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, he called Jesus his Lord. We don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right beside through me. Through me, that means you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show me the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered. After 3 to 3.5 years following Jesus, and they are still daydreaming. You know why? Because they don't study the scripture. They just listen, and then they forget. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, write that down. 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Okay? And then, anyone who have seen me have seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The word I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Verse 11, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracle themselves. I changed the reading. Again, listen to me carefully, okay? In verse 9, instead of Jesus, I say Paul. Paul answered to the church of Corinth. Don't you know me, saint in the Corinth? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, it's also more than 3 years. Anyone who has seen me, Paul, has seen Jesus Christ. How can you say, show me Jesus Christ? Show me Jesus Christ. You write that down, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. Since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me, they demand proof. They listen to Paul's sermon in vain because they are stupid, okay? They are really, really stupid. You know what? If Paul is not the apostle sent by Jesus Christ, we won't have 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Am I right? After 2,000 years, we still believe in it. And yet those people seen Paul firsthand, not by second hand. First-hand information and still asking, give me proof that Jesus Christ speaks through you. And in those days, they challenged Jesus in the same way. Give me proof that God speaks to us through you. And Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. You know what? You just go home and study the scripture. You spend half an hour, you think you love the Lord. You don't love the Lord. You meditate. You ask God, what do you mean by that? How come they say things like that? They're doing exactly the same thing They challenged Jesus in those days. Now they challenge Paul. You know what? Who they don't challenge? They say things you like to hear. They say, I like that. Yeah, that is what God said to me. No, that's not. The thing that you like, that's not what God said to you, because God wants to change your life. They challenge Paul, demanding proof is how ignorant they are. That means when they look at Paul, they don't see Jesus Christ living in them. Right? So Moses, what have you learned? What have you learned? In chapter 14, Gospel of John, and 2 Corinthians chapter 13, what have you learned? The Pharisee challenged Jesus. What's the proof that God speaks to us through you? Same as in Moses' time. They challenged Moses. How do I know God speaks to us through you? Right? All those people who challenged Moses in the wilderness, over 600,000, they cannot enter the promised land to their own destruction. Those people who believe God speaks to us through Moses, those who believe God speaks to us through Jesus, those who believe Jesus speaks to us through Paul, they all can enter the kingdom of God. Because Paul writes in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that is his teaching to us. And believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead, you are the children of God, you have eternal life. You challenging that means you believe in the super apostle, you believe in the false prophet. Can you enter the kingdom of God by challenging Moses, challenging Jesus, challenging Paul? The path of life leads upward for the wise, keeping him from going down to the grave. They challenge Paul to their own destruction. Is that the lesson that we should learn? Right? It's not difficult. But just that we don't know that. We read the scripture, we don't know it. We don't spend time to it. Okay? Those people who fail the test, they fail the test, and they think Paul failed the test. Listen to me. You don't have to worry about Paul's spiritual life. You worry about your own spiritual life. You understand? Paul said that even though seemingly I failed the test. You know why seemingly he failed the test? Because he suffered so much for Jesus. And people think, well, you suffer so much. Compare you with Peter. Peter is a lot better than you because he didn't have to lock up in the prison. But Peter himself know that. When Paul write the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, book of Romans, he never write any Bible yet. When he go to various churches to do the teaching, he take the script, the manuscript of Paul, and read that to the congregation and explain it. Don't look at the pastor superficially. Don't compare your well with his well and thinking that he's the wicked one and you're the better one. Even though Paul say that, seemingly, I look like I failed the test, it's okay, as long as you are strong. Don't worry about me. Worry about what? Worry about what? Yourself. All right? Take a look. Keep going. Where did I read? Chapter 14. Where do I stop? Okay. In verse 11. At that time, Jesus said, believe me. Now Paul say that, believe me. When I say I am in the Christ, and the Christ is in me, If you don't believe what I say, believe in the miracle that I perform. At least believe on the evidence of the miracle themselves. Miracle themselves. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The things that mark an apostle, sign, wonder, miracle, were done among you with great perseverance. You don't believe in his teaching? Believe in the miracle he performed. Paul is the best among all the apostles. He's faithful in God's teaching. He says things exactly what Jesus said when Jesus was challenged by Philip. Philip is not Pharisee. Philip is not wise. Philip is one of the 12 apostles. Can you imagine, you know, the follower are like this, and now Jesus Christ is about to die. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, everybody think Jesus failed the test. Even his believer don't even know who he is, right? He said numerous times, my Father is in me and I'm in the Father. You look at me, you see the Father. And they say, show me your Father. You know why? Because they don't read the scripture. You know why people don't know that Jesus Christ lived in Paul and Paul lived in Christ? Christ lived in Paul. You know why you don't know? Because you don't study the scripture. You study the scripture diligently, you can recognize Jesus' voice. Because Jesus said in Gospel of John chapter 10, my sheep recognize my voice. They don't recognize my voice. That means they are not moved by the Holy Spirit. They are in the borderline. They may fail the test. Test number one is very, very important. Make sure you test it and examine yourself. All right? You go to the church without salvation, without going to the heaven, you go to the church in vain. Ask yourself, do you have the Holy Spirit within your heart? Do you have Jesus Christ into your heart? Paul teaching is Jesus teaching. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and chapter 12, I see that teaching in Gospel of John chapter 14. So Johnny, I want to save your life. Do you know my heart? I want to save your life. I don't want you to cry before me because I know for sure. When Jesus Christ asks the question, I will stand beside Jesus and I will look at you eyeball to eyeball. I taught you in October 21, 2018. I did ask, how can you enter the kingdom of God? I give you a test again. This is what I call supplemental exam to redeem your life. Believe in your heart in what? Confess in your mouth. What do you confess? Tell me in detail. You want me to give you a third supplemental exam? Jesus is Lord. Who said that? You saying that. You got it. Okay? And what else? What do you believe? Give him the cheat sheet. Oh, man. You know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay? Okay, say that again. What's the answer? What do you believe? You believe that Jesus is Lord. And what else? How can he be the Lord? How can he be the Lord? He was hung on a tree. He was hung on the cross. He died. Supplementary saying exam again. Start from scratch. Tell me, what do you say to Jesus? Final one, no more exam, okay? Say it again. Is that what you confess? Or, okay, and then? Okay, what do you believe?
That's better, you know.
Oh, man. I'm sweating, you know. Oh, man. I don't think I can finish the three-part sermon. Oh, man. Okay, go back. I want you to, when I come back next week, I will talk about this. I want you to do a study in First John, in Gospel of John, chapter 14. Jesus Christ said, if you believe in the Father, you believe in me. You got to go to the Father and prepare a place for you. Make sure the place that God prepared, Jesus Christ prepared for you, you can enter. This is a waste of time if he prepare a place for you and you cannot enter. I want you to read that together with 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Moses, is it too hard to do that? Two chapter? Only 14? Chapter 14 of Gospel of John. Compare that teaching with the 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and study it. And then you ask yourself, should I challenge Paul and demanding proof from him that Jesus speak to us through him? And remember that. Remember one thing. When you speak the word of God, when you speak the word of Jesus Christ, people will challenge you. But when you speak the word of man, speak the word of everybody speaking, follow the norm and politically correct, nobody challenge you, but you're leading people to hell. Okay? And you'll be punished by God because you're speaking the word of man. Word of man will never ask Johnny, what would you say to Jesus when you stand by the heaven gate? Why will I let you enter? You understand? Human being won't ask you this kind of question. But God will ask you this kind of question. Okay? Keep going. Let's say, in chapter 13, verse 1, Paul said, this is my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. In other words, whether Paul will discipline the saint in the church of Corinth depends upon two or three witnesses. And then Paul said that I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time, that I would discipline. I now repeat it while absent. On my return, that means my third visit, I will not spare those who sinned earlier and any of the others, since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. And then the Bible says, Jesus Christ is not weak in dealing with you. I want you to write that down. Jesus Christ is not weak in dealing with you. Can anyone tell me how did Jesus Christ deal with the church of Corinth? Sadi? Do you remember? How did Jesus Christ deal with the church of Corinth? That's very good. That means you hide the word of God within your heart. A lot of people, they read the scripture, they don't even understand what they're talking about. You write down 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That wicked people is very boastful. He's a leader of the church, but he committed adultery. And Paul said that, in the power of Jesus Christ, I cast him out. Expel him. He cannot take the Holy Communion. On top of that, I hand him in Satan. So Jesus Christ deal with the church of Corinth is not lightly, very severe. I want you to write that down, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and then you write down 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Because of that, that guy suffered so much pain, and then later on he repent. Not only he repent in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the whole church get revival too, because they see how Jesus Christ deal with this church. Joyce, can you tell me what else that Jesus deal severely with the saint in the church of Corinth, other than chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians? When I preach the gospel, you don't study at home, you won't get the answer. You say, I know, you don't know. You think you know, okay? Because you don't put it together. When people test you, you fail the test. You fail the test, that means you read the scripture, you don't understand. When you lead Bible study, you lead leading people astray. How did God deal with the church of Corinth severely? Don't you know? Wow, smart girl. I pray, because when you were young, you say that you want to be missionary. I want you to be a pastor. Do you know in second chapter of Exodus, you know why God used the Levite to be the preacher? Because his parents, Moses' parents, know God's word. Those who doesn't know God's word are not deserved to preach. Because you lead people astray. You write that down. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Those people who take the Holy Communion, they don't confess the sin. They eat and drink of their own sin. So that's why some of them are weak. Some of them are sick. Many of them die, right? Is it severe? Joyce, I want you to study hard, okay? That's how I set myself apart from all other Christians. When I'm just a believer, I say, I don't want to be a wishy-washy Christian. If Jesus Christ is really my Lord, I'm willing to sacrifice my job and forsake it and follow you. I'm willing to spend 3 years of my life in the seminary to study the Master of Divinity. If I find out you're not the Lord, I go back to my engineering. And I find out he's Lord. He's my Lord. He raised me from the dead too. I have a new thinking. I studied scripture more than all other people. And I know what I'm talking about. If we know that Jesus deal with us severely, we're not going to sin against him easily. Am I right? That's very good. You write that down. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 11. That's how God deal with them. And then when God deal with them, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that guy get revival, the one in chapter 5. And then chapter 7, 2 Corinthians, the whole church get revival. they're more zealous to serve the Lord. With discipline, it helps the church to grow into maturity. And that's good. Without discipline, we still wishy-washy, do our own thing. Okay? I also want you to write that down. What kind of comparison that did I make between Paul and Peter? Do you remember? I say in Acts chapter 5, I say in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul deal with the adulterous man. He take his father's wife. When his father passed away, probably his father, second and third marries a young woman, beautiful and stuff like that. So he take it as if his own wife, right? He commit adultery. And Paul, how did Paul deal with him? Paul did not struck him to death. But Jesus did not struck him to death. Give him what? Hand him to Satan. Hopefully through pain and suffering, he still have the opportunity to turn around and repent. Lo and behold, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he turned around and be saved, right? That's good stuff. But what did Peter do? In Acts chapter 5, Ananias, Sapphira, they struck that right away, right? Listen to me. Paul said that this is my third visit. I'm going to return to you. But when I return to you, and I'm going to discipline you. I want you to write that down. On my return, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2, on my return, verse 2 all the way to verse 4, I read that to you. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others, since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. Because they say, I don't believe Jesus is loving. Jesus is kind. I don't think Jesus will deal with me like that. And then Paul say, Jesus is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. In verse 4, for to be sure, Jesus was crucified in weakness, yet he lived by God's power. And then I want you to listen carefully. Likewise, if Jesus was crucified in weakness, and Paul say, we are weak in him too. Yet, by God's power, we will live with Jesus to serve you. I want you to write that down, to serve you. How to serve you? Serve you by disciplining you. Okay? To serve you, in a Chinese saying, they don't show that. Okay? And then, I want you to write down in verse 10. This is why I'm writing this thing while I am absent. That when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority. The authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not tearing you down. Even though I discipline you, is to build you up. Paul do not want them to die. He is a very, very good pastor. He gives us numerous chances. Just like Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to become angry, and rich in love and mercy. And give us numerous chances to repent and turn around. Is he a good pastor? He's a very good pastor. But people look at his writing. He don't know that. You know why they don't know it? Because they don't understand God's word. People read the scripture without knowledge to their own destruction. I write that down. Point number 2, the discipline. Discipline with the authority of Jesus Christ is to build you up, is to strengthen your faith, is to give you blessing. I want you to write that down. Romans chapter 5. When you are disciplined, you suffer pain and affliction. But that affliction produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. You receive glory, honor, crown, and prize. It's a three-point sermon in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Point number one, make sure you pass the test. That you are the Son of God. Make sure that you have the Holy Spirit live within your body. You have Jesus Christ walk with you. If you go your own way, Jesus Christ will discipline you. He will sanctify you. He will build you up. And then you aim for perfection. Do the will of the Father. You write that down. Aim for perfection. You write that down. Is to get glory, honor, crown, and reign with Jesus. 3 points. And I found out when Paul speaking, he's speaking as if Jesus speaking to Abraham. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 17. When God the Father speak to Abraham, God the Father want Abraham to be a perfect man. Aim for perfection, to be blameless. The word blameless, you can either translate blameless or to be perfect. Right beside blameless, you write down Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2. When Abraham was blameless, he is a blessed man. Blessed are those who walk is blameless. Who walk according to the law of the Lord. Obey what God the Father said. Blessed are those who pursue, who seek after the word of the Lord. Seek after Jesus. Who keep his statute. Keep his word within your heart that will make you blameless. And Paul said that he wants us to be blameless. He wants us to be perfect. In other words, Paul teaching not only want you to have the salvation, Paul teaching want you to have glory, honor, blessing like Abraham received. But if you remember what I taught, I refer numerous times back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul say that I cannot treat you as a mature Christian. I treat you as if you are infancy in Jesus Christ. You still drink milk. You cannot eat solid food because you don't study the scripture. All you need is listen to the word of God. Even to an infancy like that, at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul say that, aim for perfection. In other words, Paul is a descendant of Abraham. When he received the blessing, he want all his followers to receive the same kind of blessing. It's the highest blessing. Not just for the mature Christian, you get the higher blessing. He want the infants, child, to be perfect. How can you be perfect? When Jesus Christ disciplines you, you'll be perfect. When Paul exercised the authority Jesus Christ gave it to him, and you will become perfect.
Well, I'm glad. You know, he did that in first visit, and then he did that in the second visit. And now, before the third visit, he gave them warning ahead of time so that people prepare. Isn't it good, right? You know that this is the exam time that we just study, right? And the good thing is, Johnny, you know the exam question ahead of time. If you fail, what else can I say, right? Don't say to yourself, I'm getting used to fail all the time. Don't say that. Follow after me. I want to be an overcomer. Follow after me. I want to be an overcomer. I don't want to be a loser. Because mentioned seven times in second chapter and third chapter of Revelation. You take a look at that. Those who overcome will receive crown, glory, and blessing. I don't want to be getting used to lose. There's enough time for that. I put away all this childish thing. When I was a child, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when I was a child, I speak like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I become a man, mature, I put away all the childish things behind me. It is good to say, from this day on, I will be an overcomer. Is it good? That's what he wants you to be. Aim for what? Perfection. Now you're ready for the wedding now. If you aim for perfection, man. If you aim for perfection, you're going to marry a godly man. If you marry a loser, you get nothing but pain and suffering. Is this for your own good or for my good? Okay. That's it. I want to stop here. See you next week. And I will go back verse by verse in detail to see whether this 3 points is the best point that we can receive. Because it's so important. I want you to study all this quick scripture that I quoted. Acts chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in the Holy Communion. And 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, how God deal with them, and what happened to the church? Blessing. Hardworking. Serving God fervently. And that's good. You know? So, the Acts chapter 5, you give them to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we got the Holy Communion, and then link to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, linked to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 is the revival of that person there who repent. And Paul said that we receive him, bring him back to the church. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the whole church get revival. When the whole church get revival, that's why Paul said that I talk about how you should offer money to the church of Jerusalem. Chapter 8, chapter 9. Okay? And then chapter 10 to 13, aim for perfection. You know, Paul is a very, very good pastor and helping Christians to receive crown, honor, glory, blessing. Our Heavenly Father, help your servant when he is at home to study your word diligently, devote himself to the studying both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and devote himself to the observance of the law of the Lord. And then devote himself to the teaching. Every word that comes out from your mouth. And help us to do the same. Aim for perfection. Lord, we don't want to be a loser. We don't want to be in just like what is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Barely saved, without blessing. We don't want to come to see you with an empty hand. Just barely enter the kingdom of God. We want to enter the kingdom of God with a lot of blessing. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.